Right, Psalms 9, if you have your Bibles this evening, we'll be on part 2 of our series on the I Wills of David. Psalms 9, verses 1 and 2, and tonight we'll be spending the bulk of our time in verse number 2. Psalms 9, verses 1 and 2. We're dealing a little bit with our, I guess you could say, some of our Thanksgiving theme on Wednesday night, last Wednesday, and then this Wednesday here tonight. I'm not sure the direction the Lord's going to take us on Sunday morning. I've got an idea what I believe the Lord would have us to look at, and it's not going to be Thanksgiving related. So just count last Wednesday night and this Wednesday night, perhaps, as things dealing with Thanksgiving. Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time in your house. Thank you, Lord, again for your work in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the music that we've sung, the music that we've heard tonight. And as your word is open, I just ask you to lead and guide, and I ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you recall last week, we looked at David's declaration, I will. Again, the word will in context is defined as choice, determination, to determine, to decide in the mind that something shall be done or forborne. So as a reminder in this Christian life, like David did, we need a declaration. We need those moments when situations arise as they will, they always do, that we say, I will. The temptation will come at times to have perhaps a nasty attitude, or the time will come perhaps where we may have a poor me attitude. And as we looked last week at Psalm 9 and verse 1 in the I wills of David, he said, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Now, this is a battle for us to get to the place as David did and make these declarations. I was listening once to a message by Curtis Hudson, and it was one of his last messages before he died of cancer. And he said, I never met a man who at times didn't think his problems were worse than anybody else's. He went on to say, even if the other person never says their problems are worse than anyone else's, you know they're thinking it from time to time. He was spot on. I personally strive to keep what I think to myself when I know what I'm thinking is not true. I try to keep what I feel to myself when I know that what I'm feeling is not true. I try to keep my emotions to myself when I know that what they are feeling isn't true. Now, this is not being hypocritical. I know people who have said, if I'm mad, good and mad, I'm just going to let everyone know it because I'm not a hypocrite. If I'm mad, I'm not even going to pretend I'm not mad. But folks, being upset and trying to avoid everyone knowing about it isn't being hypocritical. It's living your life realizing that your life impacts other people. I believe it's damaging when we allow ourselves to give way to uncontrolled thinking. We begin to base things off of our feelings and our emotions, and then we verbalize these things to others. I pray we can embrace David's declarations of I will. So what did David say he'll do? Last week, we looked at two of them. In verse 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. So the first one being, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. So we looked some at praise last week. It means to extol in words or songs, to magnify, to glorify on account of perfections or excellent works. So David praised with his whole heart. We looked at how David didn't praise the Lord with just some of his heart or praise the Lord for the things that he has done, but he also praised the Lord in the areas that the Lord was still working. And we probably have those areas that we can think of tonight. But the question is, do we praise the Lord in the areas that we've not seen his hand in a while? It's something that we've been praying about, and we trust that the Lord is working, but are we still praising the Lord in the meantime? Wholehearted worship and praise to God needs to be a declaration for us. And we must come through on it, even in hard times. The second one we looked at is, I'll show forth all thy marvelous works. So by testimony, so be a testimony of the marvelous works of God. Be reminded of what God has done. Be reminded of what he will do. And don't be afraid to tell others about it. And then tonight, we're going to look at the remaining two and verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. David said, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. Glad means cheerful, joyous. It's not doom and gloom. That's not what this means. It means joyous. Now, how easy is it to be joyous in our trial? It's not easy at all. But impossible when we focus on the trial. It will be possible to be glad in your trial if you focus on the Lord. It's sad that we can all be guilty of it from time to time. I've been in the ministry since 2013, except for those 4 years that I was away from the Lord. I've been in church nearly my whole life. But it's sad at times when you see believers who are week in and week out, doom and gloom, day in and day out, no joy, no cheerfulness, perhaps always focused on what hasn't gone their way in life. They have a whole list of woes as soon as they find an ear to listen to them. Sometimes I just want to ask people, what has God done for you today? What has he done for you this week? What's he done for you this month? Perhaps our gratefulness would be restored if we focus on what God has done instead of everything that hasn't gone our way from birth until now. And I'm not trying to be unkind, because we all have this temptation, and there was a time in my life that my life was controlled by the things that did not go my way. I think back even when I was coming back to the Lord, literally I was the definition of major or minor. I was the definition of it, and I was miserable as a result because I majored on little things. I think about it even in a work day. In your work day, that your day would be full of things that didn't go your way. Anytime you leave the house, there'll be things that don't go your way. And there was a time I stayed upset, I stayed frustrated over all the things that did not go my way. And as the Lord began to work on me and change me from the inside out, I got to the place where I could go to work and I could be happy at work. Yeah, I'd rather be at home with my family, but I could be happy at work. Could have joy at work. I could have joy as I laid my head down on my pillow without being weighted down with an itemized list of all that did not go my way that day. You can control your environment at home, but you can't control life outside the home. You can't control your work. You can't control your drive to work and a whole host of other things. So as it happens, to the best of your ability, move past what you cannot control. One of the biggest weights to ever be lifted from my shoulders was this. Give up what you cannot control. As soon as something happens, you have to ask yourself, can I control this? If not, move on. Now, I still struggle with this, but I'm 1,000 times better at it than I used to be. And life's easier when you're not weighed down by the things that you cannot control. This concept's found in Matthew 6 and verse 27. Brother Thrift highlighted some of this, and I believe it was his Wednesday night message. It says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? So why take thought on a matter that you cannot change? That's the concept here. Why allow something that you cannot change to consume your thoughts? Migrate to your heart and they consume your whole existence. I have had things ruin my whole day and probably my whole week and maybe a whole month before, if I'm honest with you, over something that I couldn't change anyway. Yes, there may be 100 things go wrong or more in a day, but we can't let things that don't go our way in life rob us of our spirit of gladness. If you do, you will be miserable and given over to negativity. And negative Christians reveal their lack of fellowship with God. You can't fellowship with someone that you don't focus on. And joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And gladness goes hand in hand. David made a declaration, I will be glad. He just decided, I will be glad. Regardless of what happens, I will be glad. In essence, I will have joy. The RU definition of joy was the addiction ministry that we ran. The RU definition of joy is a cheerful, calm delight in all of life's circumstances. I like that phrase, a cheerful, calm delight. But it breaks my heart when Christians have no joy, they have no peace, they have no contentment. It tells me though they have Christ living within them, they seldom look to Him. They seldom focus on Him. Because when you focus on Jesus, you can have joy in the trial. You can be glad. You can have peace. Because your gladness is based on who God is. Your joy is based on who God is. Now, I can look out at this world, and you can too, with all its sin, all its evil and wickedness before God. And we can see hatred for the things of God. And we can be glad based on who God is. I can look at my trial, and you can too, and be reminded of all the trials that God worked out if we look to Him. So when you look to God, His goal is to encourage you, strengthen you, and not to discourage you. The Lord will remind you of all the times that you felt destined for failure but rose victoriously. When you thought things were going to be worse than they were, but they ended up not being as bad. When He restored friendships, relationships. He may have saved someone close to you, so you know He can save the next one that's close to you. But the devil seeks to discourage us. We say things like, not this child, that was a different one. Not this family member, it's not the same situation as the other one that got saved. Or these bills are too big, or these trials are larger than the other ones. This same spirit within leads you to tell those who try to share wisdom with you and encourage you that they don't understand. But when you get counsel on a matter, and the counsel is from God, you're telling God He doesn't understand. I encourage you tonight, as hard as it is, to be glad in the circumstances because we can trust God. And we're focusing on Him. David says, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. Rejoice means to experience joy and gladness in a high degree. To be exhilarated with lively and pleasurable sensations. We see in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. So we think about the word rejoicing. This is joy in a high degree. This is an amount of joy that begins to overflow. It's not fake joy. This is not something to just switch on at times when it's convenient. This is joy from the inside that is swelling up to the point that it overflows and it's evident for all to see. And the final I will from David is I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Again, praise means to extol in words or song, to magnify, to glorify, on account of perfections or excellent works. Psalm 148 and verse 1. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His host. So we're to praise God, not only in words, but we are to praise God in song. Now that's not just here at church when we gather. See, we looked at this some and Revelation 7, or no, Revelation 3, when we were talking in 4 about the seven churches and how the Lord observed the church. And we highlighted the fact that the Lord not only observes us while we are gathered, but the Lord observes us in our daily lives. See, Christians don't realize that they make up the church sometimes. You make up Emmanuel Baptist Church, not just at the gathering of the church, but when you're in your car, when you're at home. What you allow in you has already been allowed into the church because you are the church. You can't base a church on its gathering. It's based on what the people of the church are doing when they're alone. What are families listening to in their cars and their homes? What are families watching and talking about in their homes? A good church is based on what the church is doing when not at church. What you do out there comes with you here. We just may not promote all of it here. If you praise God out there, you bring praise with you to the gathering. Now, I'm thankful. I'm thankful we have a good spirit here, but I believe we could have a better one. I believe every church could have a better spirit. And it all comes back to what we bring in here with us. I don't know what anybody does in here throughout the week, but I know there are things that I'm sure that we'd all be guilty of that we allow in that ain't got no business in. And sometimes it's just, and sometimes we don't understand how deeply spiritual everything is in this world. It's either the Spirit of God or it's the Spirit of the Antichrist. It's either or. It's either or. And people, if they spend all their time soaking up nonsense throughout the week, and then they bring that spirit in with them to God's house, we're going to bind up the Spirit of God in His house. And there's not a doubt in my mind that the Lord wants to do something with us here. But it's going to have to begin in us. He's going to have to do the work in us. He's going to have to perform the work in us before He'll perform the work through us. It's got to be that way. And that's what the main gist of what I believe the message is for us this upcoming Sunday morning. And it's not dealing with Thanksgiving. It's dealing with the Lord doing a work in us so that the Lord can work through us. You can't put the cart before the horse. I'm not one of those that says if you do this, then you're right with God. Not if your heart's not in it. The Lord could use the most evil man. We looked at it in some before how the Lord raises up kings and appoints them. Some of the most wicked people that you could think of, God has allowed them and God is using them. But that don't mean they're blessed. I don't mean God blesses them. And I don't want to be somebody that God is just simply using. I want to be somebody that the Lord is speaking through, that the Lord is performing the work through. It's not just me out on God's mission without Him. It should be our desire to have Him and to have His presence. And that's in part what I believe, like I said, unless the Lord changes the message for this upcoming Sunday, I believe that's where we're going to be. Because we're going to have to be a church on the move. So again, I just remind you, if you praise God out there, you bring praise with you to the gathering. And we at Emmanuel Baptist Church need to be reminded that we praise God, we praise His name. And David was committed. So regardless of what happens, he says, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high.